Thank you. Okay, hello everybody and welcome to the Yield call today on the 5th of July. On the call today we have Rafik Damak, Jason Thrace, Avery Doria, Edmund Chung, and from staff we have Dennis Jennings and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies, we have from Jen Tseng, Sarma Hussein, Yang Em Lee, Sun Cheng Tang, and Bart Bosinkel. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining. I sent around a couple of things earlier, one of which is the target timeline and work plan that we intend to cover. The other is the agenda for today. So we'll cover the work plan and continue work. But I guess I'm happy that Dennis was able to join us for the first quarter of the meeting. So perhaps if everyone is okay with it, if Dennis, you're willing, I would come to you to perhaps give a quick update on the work from the VIP, and that's certainly one of the things that we keep our eyes on as we consider one of our work items going forward, which is the IDM variant TLD.
Thank you,
Dennis.
Yes,
okay.
Dennis here for the record. We have our first project team meeting this afternoon, later this afternoon, after the Singapore meeting. So after that, I'll be able to give you a better update. But I can tell you that after a very busy Singapore, a number of the case study teams have already met by teleconference over the last couple of days, the Chinese case, the Devon Agri case, the Arabic case. And the mailing lists are quite active. I understand that you guys are not on the mailing list, and I don't know what's happened there, and I'll find out later today, early morning, California time, when we have the project meeting. But it seems as if all six projects are up and running. The focus is on both the issues and on the definitions. And there's quite a lot of chit-chat and clarification going on. So nothing really very much to report, except they're all determined to get the work done by the end of September. And there probably will be a face-to-face meeting of the various case study teams at various times over the summer. The first one will be the Devon Agri case in July. I'm on holiday, so I won't be attending that. The next one is the Chinese case in Taiwan in the middle of August, which I may attend. We've yet to decide whether I attend them all the case studies. So that very briefly is an update. Not much to report, but except a lot of activity.
Thank you, Dennis. I think we'd like to get on the mail list. I myself was actually on the Chinese one. That's the only one that I'm getting emails from. So the others, I guess, I'm not on, and I'm guessing Rafik and Avery also hasn't been on. So thank you for following up on it.
Certainly.
Any questions from anyone? If not, actually, on this particular topic, Avery, last time we, I guess related to this topic is our note to the ITF discussions. I've actually spoken to Suzanne after our session in Singapore, notified her about it. I apologize. I actually also haven't sent an email specifically about it, but I did tell her about it and talked to her about it in Singapore. Avery, you mentioned that you were going to help put together a sort of a note from this group so that we can circulate and probably send it over. Is
Oops.
I wonder how that's going.
All I can say is, oops.
Okay. No worries.
I totally forgot about it. And now that you say it, I remember that, yes, I agreed that I was going to do that, and then it totally left my mind. I apologize. I will write it down in my list of things I am writing.
Okay. So,
I'll
guess...
I'll try to have a draft by the next meeting.
Cool. That works well. And when is the IETF meeting, though?
The IETF meeting is in 2 weeks.
Okay. So are they going to meet on this subject?
Don't think so. I have to check again. I was half planning to go, and then I think that they said that there was no need for a DNS extensions meeting. And so at that point, since I had a conflict, I decided to go to my conflict, and I haven't checked back to make sure that they're still not going. I also had funding for one but not the other, but that's beside the point. I think that they're not meeting this time, but I need to confirm it.
Okay. So if you could help us do that as well. And
sure.
If they are, probably, you know, if we could utilize the mailing list to circulate a note, that might be useful too.
Right. Yeah, I'll check if they're meeting and let this list know. If they're meeting, I'll attend remotely, but I'll check.
Okay. All right. So I guess moving on to the general work plan, I set out a rather I don't know whether to call it detailed or rough, but there are a lot of dates in it, so that we sort of keep track of our work as we go forward. I don't know if people have had a chance to look at it, or whether I should quickly walk through it. Hearing sort of silence, I guess I'll quickly walk through it and see if anybody have any problem or any further thoughts on it. Because one of the things is that we'd like to at least have a target timeline in place and present it to the respective councils for them to have a resolution on extending this group and this charter. So, yeah. So I guess in terms of going forward, the two items that are sort of outstanding is the IDN variant TLDs and the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Speaking of the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, I'm glad that Jonathan can join us today, and hopefully Jonathan would be able to join us throughout this discussion because of the work he's done, he's been doing, and I'll come back to this particular topic on the last point on the agenda. But that's just want to point out that's a development there. So in terms of the timing, because as we discussed in the last few meetings, we would be taking observing the VIP development first. So we'll take this time of July and August to do a first initial report on the item of universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. That's the idea. And then to hopefully put out an initial report in September on this topic, and then we'll once we start seeing the issues report from the various study groups, we'll come back to the work on IDN TLD variants in September and October, and to work on an initial report from ours from the JIG. For it to go out in November, and then trying to conceptually synchronize, I guess, or go alongside with the issues report, and probably try to draft after getting the comments in, trying to draft a final report for the item towards the end of the year. So December of 2011, which is what the target timeline for the VIP is also. So that's and then that's for this year. And then coming back to the third issue, which is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs in January and February, and try to develop to complete the final report, the draft final report for public comments by about March, February and March of 2002. Thereupon, that will bring us really into April and May of next year March and April of next year to finalize our final reports and present them to the respective councils, the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council, and then depending on whether they would accept it, approve it, or we would need more work, I was scheduling the remainder of the year to move from a biweekly meeting to a monthly meeting, and then to follow up on the implementation with staff. That has been one of the things that seems to make sense, especially as we continue on the single character ID and TLDs as well. Seems to make sense. We buffer some time for this working group to continue to stay somewhat alive and active, but in a slower mode. That's why it's the suggestion to move to a monthly call rather than a bi-weekly call from May to October of next year, 2012, and to target for a wrap-up by the Toronto meeting in October 2012. That in essence is the suggested work plan. Any thoughts or comments?
Edmond, this is Jonathan. I just wanted to say that was a very kind introduction. Thank you.
Oh.
I can talk a little on universal acceptability and what I've discovered in my work with Mozilla when we get to that topic, if need be, on the call today.
Yeah, we'll
thank you.
Move there very, very shortly, actually. I wonder if anyone has any concerns with the plan. Not hearing any. Avery, you think that's a reasonable schedule?
Avery, remembering, I never know. I mean, it really, yes, it's reasonable if we, knuckle down and do lots of work and stuff, but, it's as good a plan as any.
Okay, yeah, I, as I was putting it out, I was thinking, it seems like a long time, but if I start putting the actual dates in and the actual meetings that we have, then it's not necessarily a very loose schedule. But I guess this is my feeling is that if we present something that's like 3 years, I don't think the councils would be very excited to accept it. I think this giving us a sort of end by, at least at this point, target to wrap up everything by Toronto might be meaningful.
Sounds good.
All right. Rafiq, do you any ideas, suggestions?
Edmund, Dennis here.
Yeah.
It sounds good to me. You going to circulate this in some form that we can just have available to us to track?
It went to the mail list.
I missed it. I'll pick it up. Sorry, my apologies.
And no worries.
I'm going to hang up now. Thank you for your time, and talk to you in the next meeting.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Avery.
Bye. Yeah, I was just going to say, it'll probably show up in whatever rechartering document motion that that we get from, you know,
I don't think we'll go that detailed in the motion. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I guess it, that was my next item is drafting a sort of motion. Do you think we need to go so detailed?
It's up to those who are going to vote on it. I mean, I really don't know. You know, with both G Council and C Council, what they're going to require. Are we asking for rechartering? Are we asking to just do a little bit more work on the old charter? Are we just asking them to add a few milestones? What are we actually asking them to do? I mean, I know we're asking them to let us do more work, but I really don't quite understand what we're asking for.
We're asking for fairly simple. We're not changing the charter at all, and because the charter actually provides that if both councils agree, then it should continue. What we are suggesting is a fairly, you know, my thinking is to present the case, with the details and stuff, and this is what the work plan is. But in terms of the motion, to be fairly simple, to really just say we will try to complete these two items and continue with some follow up on the implementation and target to complete work and report to the councils in Toronto.
So that was
the idea.
It sounds like we should be offering a milestones list.
In the resolution?
Yeah, what we're going to deliver.
Yeah, sure.
Deliver, and here's when.
Yeah. And here's the target for now. I think, some of our work is aligned with the VIP as well. So far, it seems to be on track, but we never know if it needs more time. I think you're right, Avery. We'll probably have a few milestones. And I'm very tempted to ask if you are willing to help draft a motion.
When do we need the motion for?
We need it by the 13th for the next meeting on the 21st. That is for the GNSO Council. For the CCNSO Council, I think they're meeting in August. So we have a little bit more time. The 13th is next Wednesday.
I'm willing to help. I know nothing about the format of C Council motions, but I'll certainly help with the G Council motion.
I think, you know, once we have the G Council motion, then, you know, it should be fairly simple to adopt it for the CCNSO. It's good that you're willing, and if you can circulate it maybe by the end of the week, then we can take a look and at least make whatever edits and then pass it to the GNSO Council for consideration by the 13th.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Well, actually, I haven't. I'm guessing people are fine with it. I haven't heard any objections to it. I will, after this meeting, I'll send a short note to everyone on this issue and say we'll based on our discussion here. And in fact, we haven't received any objections to it so far. So, based on that, I'll just mention that Avery, you'll help draft a motion for the GNSO Council and to move forward.
Please feel empowered to bug me.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
All right. So that takes care of the first agenda item. The second one was waiting for Bart's update on following up on the single character ID and TLD implementation. I note that Bart is not around. Christina, I wonder if you know if he's on vacation at this point and when he will be back. Do we know?
He will be gone. Let me check. He will be gone next week.
Uh-huh.
All of next week. And for 2 weeks. And I think that, well, today he wasn't officially gone on holiday this week. I think he's just busy with something else today.
Okay. So I guess we will hear from him maybe in two meetings' time then, when he's back, or I'll if he's not hasn't left this week yet, I'll try to bug him to give an update to the mailing list about where we are. Just to remind everybody, we put out the final report on single character IDN TLDs. Staff had a paper that they have worked on and was circulated to this back to this list about some items that they want the SAC to take a look into, and also maybe just get some clarifications from us on what the recommendations mean in terms of implementation. So we were trying to figure out how to support that work. So, but anyway, I'll bug Bart this week, or we'll probably hear from him either this week or in a couple meetings time. Okay, so that brings us to the last item and the main discussion item, which is the stock taking on the issues on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Bart did send an email to me and Jane earlier on this subject and says, if we didn't really discover any issues that is what is called a policy issue, then we might want to consider whether we need the full cycle of initial report, final report kind of thing. At this point, I still think it might be useful, even if we are going to talk about something that we urge the ICANN or ICANN staff or ICANN community to do, to actually go through that cycle. So at this point, I'm still keeping the sort of idea for the schedule at this point. But I guess as we discuss, we could come back to this. With this, I was wondering if I could put Jocelyn Yu on the spot, because we were in Singapore. We were sort of looking around, scratching our heads about what are some of the issues that we should cover if we are in terms of dealing with universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, I think we talked about some applications that need to be, application side that needs to be done. We talked about working with different organizations and maybe coming up with a list of relevant organizations to work with. We also touched on the subject of alternate routes, and we sort of quickly dismissed it and thought that it's not relevant or not something that we want to touch on in terms of our reports. So this is the extent, unless somebody wants to add to it, I'll put Jocelyn Yu on the spot on this issue, because I know that you have been working at the with the Mozilla Foundation on this particular issue, and perhaps you could share some insight on what's all about, and perhaps what this group should take on.
Hey, thank you, Edmond. And it's 5:30 in the morning, so if I'm not sparkly in my presentation, please forgive that. Hey, I appreciate that you caught me in the hallway and tapped me to participate in this group, because I've been following the work and definitely appreciate everyone putting energy into IDNs. it's great that you're continuing this work. As far as how this work and in general the work of folks working on new TLDs have in front of them as far as working with applications, and I think that the term that I've heard within ICANN speak is universal acceptability of new TLDs. I've been discovering quite a bit of things that need to be worked out in the application development community. And I really actually just stumbled upon them partially. I had them in mind. I started contributing recently, you know, within the last year and a half, 2 years, on the Mozilla Foundation, because they maintain a list called the Public Suffix List, which is, you know, basically offers some additional granularity into the lists of TLDs beyond the IANA list, so that applications can have better understanding of what a TLD is for how they behave. And the example B that goes into detail, like where there's subdomains such as co.uk, org.uk, net.uk, or other domains of a domain that are treated essentially like a top-level domain. And that's maintained as a community asset by the Mozilla Foundation. And I started contributing there. And as I started contributing there, I noticed that there were more and more derivative uses of how that list that's being maintained is taken into consideration in other applications, that it's actually used as a somewhat authoritative list of TLDs out in the community in the wild. The list is actually maintained by the community, by a few sort of key contributors, and then it trickles out in its use into a variety of libraries and languages such as C, Perl, PHP, Ruby on Rails, JavaScript, and it's also in Google's Java libraries. And it got derivative use by Firefox, Chrome, APA, and other browsers as far as how it behaves with respect to, or how those browsers behave with respect to what is a search and what is a domain name in location bar. And then there are other derivative uses, such as within operating systems, within hosting companies, people who do web statistics, anti-spam providers, security services, certification providers, law enforcement agencies, and just a whole slew of other uses that people use this specific list for. And as I started to you know, discover more about what this is, it became apparent to me that there's quite a few applications out in the wild that are going to have quite a bit of updating needed, as you know, I'm talking in the context of just new TLDs, but the IDNs really are the first place that there is an opportunity to expose some of the things that need to be done, because the IDN CCTLD fast track started to bring more TLDs online, and the list of extensions, for lack of a better term, has been fairly static since you know, for a number of years. And so different application developers, different programmers have essentially worked with it in terms of a static sort of list. And as we get towards there being a more fluid introduction of domains, we're going to find that the trickle-out benefit of some sort of a list like this is very helpful. Now, a lot of TLD operators or TLD administrators aren't necessarily aware of the various locations that they're going to have to take and update application developers' databases or things like that. And so I saw a real opportunity, I saw a real opportunity to expose and bring those worlds together, because I've been working so closely within the ICANN community to really kind of bridge those worlds, at least with respect to how this public suffix list works. The URL is publicsuffix.org if you want to review what this list is. And Edmond, I'll forward you a URL, which is a presentation that I gave at ICANN in a number of different sessions on the public suffix list. But this is a
Send it to the list because I think you're on the list now.
If I'm okay,
just send it to the list and the link
okay.
as well.
Okay, I will do. I will do. But it really exposed that there are quite a number of software applications and things out in the wild that the process of new TLDs and being introduced, IDN or otherwise, there's quite a few places that TLD applicants and administrators once delegated that they should reach out to these resources and make them aware of the availability of their domain name or perhaps details about their domain. In the case of what I've been experiencing, this is the browsers, the email clients, but there's also who is, certificate authorities, law enforcement, and other areas need to know about the TLD as it comes into the wild. This one central location trickles out into many. But there are others in addition to those that I'm working with. And as I discovered this, I thought this is a great thing to bring to as many places as possible within the ICANN world so that folks can be aware of some of the things that they'll need to do above and beyond an application and an approval by ICANN, that there's still quite a significant burden of work to get these out into the public. And if there are ways that, as part of the outreach that ICANN does, that there was some, perhaps, informational pamphlet or checklist that a person who recently is delegated a TLD could go through this checklist, it would offer a significant amount of additional value to the community because those domains would function, as expected in the wild. And that's really, as soon as I presented that to some folks at ICANN, they said, well, that's called universal acceptability, and this is very important to us.
Right.
And I think that's probably the end of my speech. I'll go ahead and forward the presentation and links to the list, but thank you for the opportunity to present that.
Oh, and thank you for being here, and I hope you would continue to participate, actually, not just to bring us here, because I certainly immediately have a few questions, but before that I was wondering if anyone have any questions in mind. Hearing none, I guess I'll get it started, and we'll probably get into a discussion. I guess first of all, again, thank you. The universal acceptability of TLDs is certainly one issue that came out when the new gTLDs were first introduced in 2001, and thereupon all the new gTLDs faced a similar issue, and certainly myself from .asia also went through that process. This particular group and this time presents a pretty a good opportunity for the gTLDs and the ccTLDs to work together, because previously it has always been only a G issue and not a CC issue, but this time round it is a common an issue of common interest because of the new IDN ccTLDs that are introduced, and many of the IDN ccTLDs are facing the same set of issues, and even worse in some cases, because we're talking about IDNs. So I thank you, Jocelyn, for you to join. As you were talking, I was a few questions came into my mind. First of all, is you must have, you know, been surveying the you know, sort of what's happening, and I was wondering if there are any competing lists out there, and you know, other places. You mentioned about a checklist for TLDs. I definitely think that's a very very useful thing, and probably it is something that this group should try to at least start compiling and put it out for public comments, and hopefully we'll get an even more complete list. But I was wondering if you know of any competing lists besides the public suffix list, and of course, IANA's own TLD database.
You know, it's still fairly early, so none come to mind, but I can dig through my notes. I've found that there are some, but as I contact folks to see if I can help them update their efforts, many of them have suggested to me that they've defaulted to using the public suffix list as their basis. Now, that's you know, predominantly been an effort by the Mozilla Foundation, and I'm certain that there are likely some proprietary lists in the wild. As well as when I talk to the security community and some of the web statistics community, they are also maintaining lists of URL shortener systems. But I don't think that really has any... I think that's obtuse to our efforts. The public suffix list was probably the largest place, at least as far as a central repository, that I was able to find that had as many derivative uses.
Cool. And if you don't mind sharing, and please send to the mail list, you know, if there are other places which you have knocked on doors, and you know, and maybe it's already included in your presentation, then just simply send that would be useful. And I guess following from that, it's sort of may not be necessarily a question just directly to you, but to the group here, is sort of seeing that this list becoming more and more popular and used. I guess, you know, I was wondering whether the ICANN community should it should definitely keep an eye on it, but how is there any way to interact with or what's the best way to interact with the Mozilla Foundation as coming from the ICANN community? That comes to mind. Not necessarily any kind of policy or anything, but more of a communication. You know, as we go down the path, because we're expecting more and more IDN TLDs and CCTLDs, and as well as IDN GTLDs and new GTLDs to come along.
Well, Edmond, the information on how to interact with the public suffix list is available at the link that I'll send to the list. But essentially what they do is they have a ticket system that the administrator of a TLD can submit either new information or updates or changes that will get implemented by the community through patches. And so they've got a full trouble ticket system and patching, and it's extremely transparent. You can go through and review the entire history of the list as well as download it. It's very transparent as to what their activity is. Now, as far as the sort of the application development, people will notice in the presentation that I gave at ICANN that the Mozilla Foundation has an additional behavior system built into their browser called the IDN whitelist, essentially. And it has to do with the presentation of U labels versus A labels in their application. I'm glad to talk about that at a future date if needed, but it was one area where specifically to IDN, that the behavior of browsers really varies. And, you know, as it plays into universal acceptability, there is a list, essentially for security purposes, that Mozilla maintains what they call a whitelist of top-level domains that have certain set of minimal criteria as they relate to visually similar or, you know, confusingly similar variants being possible to register within a registry, within a TLD. And if there are policies in place, if there are, you know, code points presented that, and then their programmers and people in that community have the opportunity to approve these and get them listed. So the TLD administrator can submit them, and then the browser, some of the developers can review these. But this will be things like right now, the OSH character, which is the sort of a combined AE character, for example, and the AE, if two different domains could be registered to two different people and have those characters within them, that would be considered confusingly similar. And the folks at Mozilla, after the very widely circulated PayPal example where somebody was able to compose a homograph a homoglyph variant of PayPal, the folks at Mozilla said, well, that's probably bad for the community or our users, so what we'll do is we'll expose the A label until we're convinced that that's not possible to do in a TLD. And so the behavior is that by default in Mozilla, an A label will be presented unless a TLD meets these criteria, has these policies in place, and then gets whitelisted and added into the list of TLDs that the browser will treat as safe with respect to IDN. So that's just right. One area that it's important to focus in on. Again, I've got information about that in the presentation. I didn't mean to take as much time in this. I wanted to talk just generally about universal acceptability. But there's an example of some of the nuances that folks will have to address in the wild.
Right. No. I think this is highly relevant, especially with this group being focused on IDNs. I think the IDN whitelist and maybe what some other browsers and some other applications do is definitely relevant as we go through this stock-taking of things. Because just as a general idea, in the initial report, we're trying to sort of bring together any kind of information that's relevant and try to put it back out to the community to see if we have we are complete enough or there are other things that we have missed. So this is definitely one of the items that needs to be in the initial report for and in our stock taking list. I was wondering if anyone have questions or thoughts about I guess, you know, what other things that we need to cover and perhaps how we go about trying to put this into a document form for to seek further input from the community. Any thoughts? I keep liking to come back to Avery because he usually has some insights. Any thoughts?
Avery? This time. Sorry, I just had to turn off mute. Sorry to disappoint you this time. I've really just been listening and you know, don't have any questions and really don't have anything to add. But thanks for asking.
Okay. Rafiq, still on with us? Was wondering anything you want to add in terms of usability of IDNs on this issue because I guess the next step for me might be to really compile some of the things that we have already said. And Justin, if you could send more of what you have done, we'll incorporate all those in, and maybe to start with a very rough document and go from there. It seems like we might have exhausted some of the very loosely structured stock taking, and we'll probably need to move into a more structured way so we could add on the framework. But I was wondering, others on the call, Rafiq, are you still with us?
Yes, but I'm going to leave in a few minutes because I have another call in just 1 hour after this. No, I don't have any comment about what we discussed today.
Okay. So, I guess we probably could wrap early then. And as I mentioned, it seems like Justin, I think your document will be a lot of which will probably go into our initial report, and some of the things that you mentioned or you worked on. So, if you have any further information, please definitely feel free to send it into the mailing list and continue to participate through this. Because what you mentioned about a checklist or a set of issues that new TLD applicants or new TLD operators should be concerned with, that's certainly the goal of this group, to produce.
Well, Edmund, thank you again for including me in the list and the group. And I have forwarded to the list both my presentations that I gave at the Singapore ICANN in a number of sessions, as well as a link to the public suffix list for people to review. And I'm glad to either on list or off list respond to questions or clarifications on what those are. And it's been a good opportunity and privilege to volunteer over in that group. I'm glad to again answer any questions or clarifications on there.
Okay. So I guess with that, we'll wrap the session, and Jane and I will start to work on a skeleton document and circulate it so that we can further discuss this in our next meeting. I think the next meeting will be in 2 weeks' time, and we'll come back to this, mainly this issue. I'll try to get Dennis to join us every time and to probably update us a little bit on the work at the VIP study teams. And also, we are, expecting Avery's draft by our next meeting on the 19th. So, I guess with that, yep.
Sorry, this is Christine. I just wanted to note that Bart will be on holiday in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, understand that. But I guess we will continue to work through the items and we'll welcome him back on the next meeting. And in the meantime, we'll also draft the motions for the GNSO Council and CCNSO Council's consideration for the extension of this group. Okay. With that, anyone have any further thoughts, questions, things they want to bring up? If not,
Edmund, I have one question. This is Jonathan.
Yes.
I'm assuming that you have a similar statement of interest process to the other groups that I'm participating in. And so is there some sort of a SOI format that someone could email me? Could you email me for this list?
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, when we started the group, this SOI thing process hasn't started. In fact, this is the GNSO has the council has asked me whether we would start doing that. We were asking the CCNSO guys, and so far it hasn't been. We will follow up with that, but you know, feel free to put it in for now. But in terms of a formal process, we don't really have one at this point for this particular group,
because
this was chartered before this prevalence of SOI thing in the working groups.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's easier. I guess I could forward my SOI that I put in place. I'm actually, I didn't mention this on the call, but I am the lead on the Latin variant team, the lead coordinator. Okay. So I have that I could contribute.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I guess so with that, I'll, hearing no other one jumping up, so I'll thank everyone for joining the call and talk to you over the mail list and talk to you in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.